10. I'd like to ask you a question tonight as we begin to consider for a moment some of the truth of God's Word. Have you ever longed for something? Have you ever experienced what we would call desire? Longing. Think about it for a few minutes. And what is it that you desire? Or what is your heart's desire? Romans chapter 10. The Apostle Paul writes, and we're just going to read a couple of verses here to set the tone for the message. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now my focus tonight, and perhaps in a few subsequent messages, is to talk to you about the desire of your heart. The desire of my heart. And so I'm really just going to lift from Romans 10 verse 1, rather than expound the passage, I'm going to lift that statement, my heart's desire. Desire is an interesting word, biblically considered. It is found in the King James Version 111 times. And it's difficult to define specifically simply because there are so many Hebrew words that are translated by the word, English word, desire. There are less Greek words, but because there are so many words, what we learn is that a particular Hebrew word is translated maybe only once or twice or three times by the word desire. So that's the English word chosen by the translators to help us understand the sense of that word. There are a few Hebrew words where 12 times the word desire is used. And there is a Greek word that is more predominantly used. And the word here in Romans chapter 10 is a word which means will or choice. When Paul speaks about what his heart's desire is, what he's saying is, my will, what I want, what I will to happen, and what I choose to focus on. But it's deeper than that. The reason his will is in this way, and the reason his choices are made in this area, are because of what he delights in or takes pleasure in or satisfaction. So desire is a choice made that is based upon what you believe will be resulting in pleasure, resulting in joy, resulting in satisfaction, resulting in delight. So you desire something because you delight in it, or you believe in the delight that you will experience because you have the thing that you desire. But let me take a moment just to help you by a couple of New Testament passages to understand what he's saying. And just to illustrate that, go to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 26. Matthew 11 and verse 26. We're just establishing what he means by desire, his heart's desire. And I want to talk to you about your heart's desire. And I've been challenged lately about my heart's desire. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 26. Our Lord is praying, and in verse 25, he said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. In Romans chapter 10, Paul is saying, do you know what I envision as being good? The salvation of Israel. That Israel would be saved. That they would understand that they don't have to go around trying to establish their own righteousness, but just submit, just accept the righteousness of God, which is made available to them in Christ. That's what seems good to me. And so that's what I'm after. That's what my heart's passion is, my desire is, because it seems good. That's the same word used here, referring to God. It seemed good. God's desire was that what he would reveal would be revealed to those who are humble, to those who are like babes, who become like children. And it was his desire to hide them. It seemed good to him to hide them from those who are wise in their own conceits. So it seemed good. That's the idea. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I love Ephesians chapter 1. If you've ever read it and pondered it, you'll love it too. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5. Speaking of what God has done for us, he has predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. So he's adopted us as children to him, as his own children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. The word's good pleasure. Same word as Paul is using when he says, my heart's desire. What would be a delight? What is a good pleasure to me? What I will, because of the good pleasure of it happening, is the salvation of Israel. Look at verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. So again, I'm asking you, what is your heart's desire? What is the good pleasure? What is your good pleasure? What would you take pleasure in? What do you think is good? How about Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13? One more place here. Philippians 2 and verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's the same word, same idea, same concept. We're trying to understand what it is. Matter of fact, I have another one written down here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So obviously, it seemed good. What seems good, or what is good pleasure, or to us is good and pleasurable, that's desire. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11. Verse number 12 actually is what I want, but verse 11 says, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Pleasure. So what is it that you find pleasing? What is it that when you think about it, you're pleased? You delight. It is your joy. Now what Paul is saying is that his heart's desire and prayer to Israel is that they might be saved. Now go back to chapter 9 and see the result of that desire the expression of that desire. He said, I say the truth in Christ, verse number 1, Romans 9, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, or in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Who are the Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises? Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. He's just expressing the same thing, but he's saying, my desire fills me with great heaviness and sorrow because it's not happening, and I long for it to happen, and I would take great pleasure, and so much so that I could wish myself a curse from Christ. Now, let me give you another way to say that. What he's saying is, my heart is stretched out after the salvation of the Jews, the salvation of Israel. To desire is a word that means that you are stretching yourself out after something, longing for it, because you see it as good and pleasurable and desirable. And so there comes the word desire. You crave it. Your soul is stretching out, reaching out, pursuing. What is it that you desire? Paul has many desires. Here he talks about his heart's desire being the salvation of the Jews. He's stretching out. His soul pushes him toward that goal. And he wants to see that accomplished. But he also said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. My soul stretches out after being with Christ. And to do that, I have to depart this life. But to remain is better for you, but I still have a desire. It's a pleasurable thing, experience to me, something to long for, crave after, to be with Jesus. And 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 17, he expresses again his desire. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart. When I read those words, I thought about my situation being in Missouri for the last 2 weeks, and you being here. I was taken from you for a short time only in presence, but not in heart. I was thinking about you, and I was praying for you, and I was longing after you. And Paul said, though we're not present, you are in our heart, and we endeavored the more abundantly, because you are our heart's desire, we endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. The pleasure we anticipated in being in your presence and seeing you stretched us out to work hard at getting there, to being there. So wherefore, verse 18, we would have come unto you once and again, even I, Paul, once and again, we were stretched out after you because of the pleasure we would anticipate, but Satan hindered us. And here's that pleasure aspect again, verse 19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? What is it that we think would make us delight, that we would take pleasure in? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. What is your heart's desire? What is my heart's desire? What is it that we are seeking after, that we are stretching ourselves out to attain? We're commanded by Scripture to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our soul. I'm going to propose to you tonight that we have taken certain definitions of love and we have come to understand love only by those descriptions. And what they actually are is telling us what love looks like when love is walking and when love is talking. But they are not in truth what love is. We sometimes think that love is doing the right thing. If you love someone, you will do the right thing. If you love God, you'll do right. Or we say that love is keeping the commandments, because Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, he that keepeth my commandments, he it is that loveth me. So we think that love is keeping commandments or doing the right thing. Or we think that love and showing love is being kind and patient and compassionate towards someone, though they may be undeserving or unworthy, we express that as love. But my friend, that's what love looks like. If love is present, it looks like that. You know what love is? It's passion. Love is passion. It is desire. It is a stretching out of the soul or heart for something. And the question for me to ask myself tonight, and perhaps for you to ask yourself, is do we have a passion for God? Do we desire God? I remember reading in the Psalms, and the Psalms are full of devotional thoughts about God, and the psalmist said in Psalm 27 and verse 4, one thing have I desired, but he added something. And this is where most of us are, of the Lord. One thing have I desired of the Lord. And I'm suggesting to you tonight, our desire ought to be the Lord, not just of the Lord. And the thing that he desired of the Lord was to dwell in the house of the Lord forever and behold his beauty in the sanctuary, according to Psalm chapter 27. So he desired something of the Lord. Sometimes there is in our ranks and in our own personal experience a desire for ministry, a desire for healing, a desire for provision, a desire for prosperity, a desire for many different things that would come from God. But is there a desire for God? Now, the reason I think this is important to make this distinction is that God is holy. And in God's presence, there is no sin or uncleanness. And everyone in this room tonight has reason to shout and rejoice, if you're saved, that you are cleansed from your sin, clothed in the robes of righteousness, judicially declared righteous, and your sin is covered and hidden and gone. However, sin still is a part of our existence, and though it has been atoned for, our sin separates us from sweet fellowship with God. And the man, only the man or woman who has a passion for God, whose desire is for God himself, will have the ability to say no to sin. We'll see sin as it is. We understand that we're sinners, but we don't see sin as evil and as heinous as God sees it, and we're not ready and willing to forsake it because it's not our passion. Our passion is for God to bless us and give to us and for us to receive from God, but our passion is not God. Our desire is not God. And I want to challenge you to ponder that truth. Do you have a passion for God? Do you desire him, or you just desire something of him? again, my goal is never to discourage faith. It is never to cause you to question the reality of God's love for you, but it is always to make you face the reality of the truth that God has given regarding those who have been redeemed and what is characteristic of their life. Tonight, the question before me is, do I want God to meet my needs, to fix my marriage, to protect my children, to heal my body, to bless my church, to restore the economy? Or do I want God? Do I desire Him more than health? Do I desire Him more than a blessed home? Do I desire Him more than... The truth of the matter is, if you have God, if you desire God and He's the object of your affection, the object of your devotion, and the object of your attention, if you have God, all power is His, all wisdom is His, all ability is His, and all of those things that you long to have and have made the object of your desire can be yours by making God your desire. You understand that? Focusing on Him and having that relationship with Him. Several words that are used in the Hebrew language for desire tell us these things are indicative. We've already used some of the words, but suffer me to say them again. What you desire is what you lust after, which really means you long for, you have an appetite for. It means that you seek it, you look for it. You try to discover it. You are on a mission to find it. Do you desire God? What effort are you making to find Him, to see Him, to be in His presence? It means to covet, which is similar to lust or desires to covet. It means that you see something and you want it. It's not yours and you want it. You want to have it. You want to make it yours. It means to ask. To desire means to ask. In several places in the Bible, it talks about what would you desire, or the thing that I desired of thee. It simply means to ask. It's a word that means to make a request. To ask. What are you asking for? What are you requesting? That reveals the desire of your heart. What are you longing for? It's a longing. What is it that is pleasant to you and would bring you the greatest pleasure? Or do you believe would bring you the greatest pleasure? What's your desire? I thought about that, and as I looked at the word desire through the Bible, I only found one time that it was used of Jesus. Think about it for a moment. I'm sure that most of us will not remember it. But it was very interesting. It's in Luke. And Jesus sits down at the table to observe the Passover with His disciples. And here's what He said. With desire. And the word literally is the same word used many times for lust. For strong desire, strong longing. With desire, I have desired. With desire, I have desired to have this Passover with you. Or to eat this Passover with you. Why? Knowing that He was going to suffer. Maybe we should look at it just to get the full impact of it. It's verse 15 of Luke chapter 22. Luke 22 and verse 15. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. And look at the next three words. Before I suffer. This is the preliminary to the main event of suffering. And it pictures His suffering. And He said, I have looked forward to this day. I have longed for this day. This is the day that brings me the greatest pleasure. This is what satisfies my heart. This is what I've sought and coveted and asked for and longed for with desire. And if you notice in the margin of your Bible, perhaps it says this as it does in mine, with desire, the note in the margin says, I have heartily desired with my heart, with my whole heart, before I suffer. And I don't think it takes much imagination for you to know why that is true, because the Passover was all about a lamb being slain and the blood applied to deliver the inhabitants of the house from the death angel. And he is the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. And this was the last Passover that he would observe and that his disciples needed to observe. And he says in verse 16 as much, for I say unto you, I will not eat any more. I will not any more eat thereof. And he was a Jew, and the Jews were commanded to do it yearly and to keep this feast and observance. And he said, I won't do it anymore until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Why? Because he is what the Passover was all about. And he said, this is why I came into the world. This is what I want to do. I want to please my Father. I want to lay down my life for you. And I've looked forward to this moment. I've longed for this moment. In all of the things and the experiences of my earthly life, I've desired this. So the only time that the word desire is used in the King James Version in reference to the Lord Jesus and his desire, it has to do with you and I. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy 7. And Moses is rehearsing and reviewing. Sometimes it's God speaking through Moses. Sometimes it's Moses speaking on behalf of God and to the people about God, because he is going to be leaving them at some point. And he reminds them in verse number 6, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The word holy meaning separate, set apart, distinguished, special. Thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love. If you'll notice that phrase, set his love, that's one Hebrew word, and that word is often translated desire. It is one of the words that's translated desire. And to desire means to set your love upon. What was Paul's love set upon? What was the passion of his heart and his life? It was that the Jews would be saved. And so he went everywhere and went into every synagogue, and he reasoned with them and showed them Christ and opened the scriptures and tried to show them why. That was his passion. That's what he longed for. And God set his love upon Israel. And if I can do it without taking you to a number of scriptures to convince you, I will just state to you, God set his love upon you too. We read in Ephesians that according to the good pleasure of his will, he adopted us as his children by Jesus Christ. He set his love upon you. He did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. You were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you. He did. Not anything in you. He just longed for you, set his love upon you. And then look at chapter 10. Same truth, basically, repeated again, Deuteronomy chapter 10. Let's begin in verse 14. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens. And I don't think that the people of Moses' day understood the heavens like we do. Obviously, they didn't have streetlights and they didn't have all of the things we have. So when it got dark, it got dark. And it was like being up north or being at camp, and the city lights are not there. And so you really could see the heavens, and they could see the starry host. But they didn't have telescopes. They had no idea the vastness, the breadth, the depth of it. But he said, listen, what you know about heaven, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is or belongs to the Lord your God. You know how many planets there are there? How many stars there are there? We're just on one planet. We're on one place, but all of that's his. And then he includes the earth also, and all that therein is. All of that belongs to God. And in spite of that, and consider this in the light of that, only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them. The word delight is the same word that comes from the desire. You desire because you delight. You find it delightful, and so you stretch out after it. And the Lord had a delight in thy fathers, so he stretched out his heart to them. He stretched out his hand to them. He had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you, above all the people, as it is this day. So Jesus' desire was all about you, and God's desire is all about you. He set his love upon you. He delighted in us, set his love upon us. Now look at Psalm 91 and verse 14. Psalm 91 and verse 14. This is that wonderful chapter that's often quoted to those who are finding themselves in distress and in trouble, talking about dwelling in the secret place of the Most High and being under His protection. Notice in verse number 14. And by the way, this is the He here is speaking of the person who has made the Lord his refuge. Because, God says, because he, that individual, hath set his love upon me. The word set his love is exactly the same Hebrew word that is used of God setting his love upon you. And it's often translated in the King James Version, desire. Because God desired you and because now you desire him. Because he hath set his love upon me, because I am his desire, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. And I circled in this chapter the word because. So we begin with the assurance that the person who dwells in the secret place of the Most High is going to be under the shadow of God and can say that God is his refuge and fortress and he will be delivered. And then in verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Because you've done that, there shall no evil befall thee. And then in verse 14, because you've set your love upon him, therefore he will deliver you and set you on high. Because, again, he hath known my name. All that we are longing for and looking for and asking God and desiring of the Lord, he promises he will give us if we just desire him, if we just make him the object of our desire. I don't know if you will comprehend this thought tonight or this message tonight. I think that we have lived so long under the modern day interpretation of Christianity that we have lost the idea to understand this truth. But the desire of our hearts should be God. What is your heart's desire? If God is your heart's desire, then the things that God desires will be the things that please you. And so Paul said, my heart's desire is for Israel to be saved, because he knows that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it's God's will and God's good pleasure to give him a place in heaven. So he said, it's my desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. And on it goes. The other desires, the other delights of our life come from making God our desire. Now I'm going to try to expand further on this about where this desire comes from. How is this desire born in our heart, but not tonight? I just leave you with the question. What is your heart's desire? What do you really long after? What does your soul, your mind, emotions, and will, what are you stretching out after? What exercises your soul? What do you want most? What do you believe and what brings you to a smile? And you know what I thought about it? I thought of several things. But I'm saying the truth to you as did Paul. I lie not. I believe I desire the Lord. But I thought of several things that I desire here. Paul, the psalmist said, whom have I on earth? Or whom do I desire on earth but thee? Well, whom? I can say it's him. But what? I thought about the things I long for, stretch out after. One of them's popcorn. Dumb as that sounds. Nearly every night for the last 2 weeks, I went home to my house after the day, sat in the house that I was in, no television, no nothing, just popped popcorn in coconut oil. Sometimes I put butter on it, sometimes I didn't. And I just sat there in the quietness of the house eating popcorn and praying for wisdom and praying for my family and thinking about what God was doing and seeking God. I thought, what do I seek after? What do I long after? What does my soul stretch out after? You know what it is? A fireplace. I don't know, there's fascination with me and fireplaces or campfires. I love sitting next to a fireplace, and I long for that. I look forward to that. Every time I see one, I was at Cherry Street Baptist Church last Sunday night, and they're renovating the foyer, and in the foyer is a fireplace. Outside is snowing, and it's cold, and not like it is here, but it was that, and it wasn't on fire. And the first question I had for the pastor, why don't you have a fire going in there? And they have a sound system out in the lobby. I seriously would have stood out there and sat out there and enjoyed the sermon by the fireplace because I just long after. I love it on earth. But I'd rather have God than that. Fireplace and popcorn are temporary, and you can't hold on to them, and they cannot satisfy like God can. What do you desire? What do you long after? What do you want? Think about God looking down from heaven. And what is his response to the person who, as he observes him, knows that in the heart of hearts of that man or that woman or that boy or that girl, that child, what they really want is to know God. They might be stumbling. They might be discouraged. They might be struggling with temptation or sin, but he sees in their heart they want to know him. They long to know him. And when somebody's talking about him, their ears are attentive. And when they have opportunity, they search, they read, they seek to discover. They long for him. What do you suppose his reaction is to that? It's very clear, isn't it? You don't even have to imagine that. You know that the God in heaven who looks down and sees somebody whose heart is after him, who longs to know him, who wants to be with him, and that's all they want. And they don't care about anything else. And they'll give up anything else for him. It's kind of like what God did with Abraham. He said, Abraham, you've walked with me for a long time, and you've proven that you love me. And now I've given you something that is very precious to you and is your delight. Let me find out, do you still long for me more than anything else? Because all I want is you, Abraham. I'm asking you now to take your son and take him to Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice to me. Did God want Isaac? Nope. He wanted Abraham. And he knew he had Abraham when Abraham obeyed and took his son and bound him and was ready to slay him. And he said, I know now. God said, I know now. Because you've demonstrated again to me. Do we love him like we should? Let me encourage you to ponder that and begin today to seek God and make him the passion of your life. He's worth knowing. There are many Christians that are worth knowing, but they cannot do for you or fulfill you or satisfy you or help you or bless you like God can. There are many churches that are worth attending, but they cannot do for you what God can. There are many books that will help you and will give you some counsel and give you direction, but not like God can. My heart's desire. What is it? Father in heaven, bless us as we ponder these truths and help us to be seekers after you. I believe with all my heart that this will never happen unless it begins with you. But the truth of Scripture says you have set your love upon us. and you have sought us. And so you have initiated the contact, and you have awakened in our heart the possibility of knowing you. And now, Lord, I pray that you will help us to ponder and to think about and to pursue this thought of desiring God. Direct our steps in these next few moments in whatever direction it would please you to do whatever we need to do before you, and I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.